with me in your Bibles, go to John chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to call this message, When the Love of God Dwells in You. This is what happens when the love of God is dwelling in you. Now, if you are a Christian, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So His love is already in us. But how many of you know that doesn't mean we're automatically acting in God's love? You know, have you as a believer ever acted less than loving before? Is there anybody? Okay, we got three honest people in the house. Well, because the love of God dwells in there doesn't mean that we automatically act that way. How many of you know we have to decide? We have to choose to walk in God's love. Amen. And we're going to just talk about some things that will be evident in our life when we're allowing God's love to dwell in us. Amen. And over the last several weeks, I've been on a series of messages about having the right heart, about stripping away selfishness and making sure that we're seeking God for Him, not just seeking God to see what we can get out of Him. You know, there is a big difference. You know, we don't seek God just to make our lives more fortunate. We seek Him because He's worthy, because He is to be praised and glorified. And of course, when we put God first, He's going to show up in our lives. And there's so many things He helps us with and blesses our life. But we have to have the heart that says, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes, even if it does not look fun, even if it doesn't feel good. Because we have a saying around here, we say this all the time, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find, right? Because life does make sure at times that good feelings go away. But just because hard times can come and go, that doesn't mean that we should change what we believe. It doesn't mean that we should stop being faithful or stop obeying God. Amen. And so we've been talking about having the right motives, getting away from selfishness, seeking God for Him and not just what we get out of Him, seeking His character, wanting the heart of God. Amen. And a true, you know, a condition of the heart. Amen. And so, man, 7 weeks ago, I started with a message called Healing is for a Greater Purpose. You know, how many of you know that there's healing promises in the Bible? But we got to remember James chapter 4. It teaches us that healing has a greater purpose. It's not something that we long for just for our own benefit. How many of you know, in order to serve and perform, you know, the functions that God wants us to perform, we've got to have strength in our bodies, right? The health in our body should, and the strength in our body should be used to serve the Lord's body. And who is the Lord's body, everybody? The church. We are. Amen. And we're given that strength to serve God's people. Amen. And I'll tell you, we said this, that, you know, we got to make sure that this body, the body of Christ, is more valuable to us than our own physical body. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then after that, we went on to talk about more in James chapter 4 about how it tells us that, you know, that quarrels and fights, you know, war within us and come from the inside. And I didn't necessarily teach all of that message here in this church, but we talked about these principles all throughout this series of messages that we've got to get over ourselves. We can't be so offended. We can't be hurt with what everybody's doing. And then we taught a message called Make God Bigger in Your Life. Tell God who He is. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God that is faithful to covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. And we talked about how to exalt God in our lives. And then we talked about prayers that move the heart of God. And we saw Solomon when he was a young man just becoming a king for the first time. Remember, and the Lord appeared to him and said, Solomon, ask me for anything that you want. And Solomon said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom to lead your great people. Solomon said, I want to be the greatest blessing to as many people as possible. And the scripture says that those words pleased the Lord. And the Lord said to Solomon, He said, because you did not ask for long life for yourself, because you didn't ask for riches and honor for yourself, He's like, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Remember when the Lord told him that? Because Solomon, at first, he had the right heart. when he started, he had the right heart, and he asked for something that had true eternal value, not just something he could get for himself. Remember, we looked at James 4:3, and it says, we have not because we ask not. And if we do not receive, it's because we ask wrong, that we seek to consume it upon our own lusts. If we're just after, you know, the things of God so we can just consume it for ourselves, then we've completely missed the point, right? And so this series has been talking about how to have those right motives. Amen. And then a couple of weeks ago, we started to look at what it takes for God to use you in the heart that God's looking for. How many of you remember the Beatitudes? The state that God calls blissful. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are what? Poor in spirit, or who those who are without spiritual arrogance. Those who will not think that faith is just all about themselves. Amen. He said also, blessed are those that mourn or are actually bothered in their heart to sin against God. Remember this? Amen. And then he said, blessed are those that are meek or who will be willing to do things for God that will bring them no glory. Are you willing to do some things for God that'll bring you no glory, no attention? Amen. And then, of course, last week we got into this. We said, you know, we talked about what happens when we give glory to God. Abraham was staring down some very difficult circumstances in his life, but it says that he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, not looking at his age, not looking at the weakness, not looking at the circumstances around him, and God blessed him. Amen. Praise God, and he stayed faithful for 25 years. And tonight, we're going to talk about what happens when the love of God dwells in you. Have you found John chapter 5? Let's go to verse 41. I just wanted to kind of catch up everybody about what we've been talking about, having that right heart. Tonight, we're going to again talk about something that helps us to have humility, helps us to get away from thinking about ourselves and our own problems and our own troubles and our own desires. Amen. John 5, 41. I'm reading out of the King James to start. Jesus speaking here. And of course, in context, Jesus is talking to and with the Pharisees. How many of you remember those buggers that Jesus always had to deal with? Man, I'll tell you what, that term Pharisee, it's become synonymous with a lot of bad things, right? Well, remember, the Pharisees were all about honoring themselves. Remember how Jesus was constantly having to correct them? Because they wanted to pray in public and they wanted to be known and seen as the smartest and the best and the well-dressed. Remember these guys? Yeah. Remember they were very prideful. They had a lot of religious pride. Remember that? And they wanted to be honored. They wanted to be seen and known for their greatness and all that. And so Jesus is now dealing with them again. And now we pick up the conversation. Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, I receive not honor from men. And can you switch over to the Amplified real quickly? I want to just show you what Jesus is getting at here. He's not talking about, you know, just what people might say, you know, to him. He's talking about his own heart. Jesus says, I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. Boy, right there we go. There it is. You know, that'll bless us. That'll change our life. Everyone, we're going to dismiss service right here. And you can go home and meditate on that for a little while. That'll change your life. Amen. Oh, do you think, is there anybody in here you've ever been, guilty of wanting some recognition for yourself and things? Oh, we all have been there. But Jesus says, I don't think about myself. I'm not looking for glory for myself. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. And so Jesus is talking about the condition of his heart. And back in the King James in verse 42, Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, but I know you, Pharisees. He says, I know you, meaning I know how you seek honor for yourself. He says that you have not the love of God in you. Could you imagine the Son of God saying that to you? Man, that would just shake you to the core, wouldn't it? In verse 43, Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another person shall come in his own name or his own authority or is for his own self, you would receive him. He says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another, Jesus, listen to what Jesus says to them. How can you truly be a believer if you're just receiving honor one from another and you seek not the honor that comes from God only? Notice we're to seek the honor that comes from where? God only. All right, we're not to seek the honor and the recognition of people. And I'll tell you what, this will change our lives. Amen. Jesus said in verse 45, he says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." He says, "There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust," meaning the writings of Moses in the Bible. And in verse 46, Jesus says this. He says, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you believe not Moses' writings, how shall you believe my words?" Wow. Go back up there to verse 41. Again, Jesus said, "I receive no honor from men." Praise the Lord. Why did Jesus say that? Why was he dealing with the Pharisees? Because he told us what the issue was. Can you drop down to verse 42? Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, "I know you, that the love you have not the love of God in you." There was the problem with the Pharisees. It explained everything. They did not have the love of God. When we see that term love of God, it's also, we would say it this way, the love for God. The love for God. And so we're going to see here what happens when the love of God dwells in you. In their case, you know, they wanted honor from people. But let's start here with number one here tonight. What happens when the love of God dwells in you? Number one, you will not demand human recognition. Oh boy, are you here? If you have the love of God dwelling in you, you will not demand human recognition. Oh boy. Meaning that people are not your ultimate fulfillment. People are not going to affirm you. People are not your answer to try to strengthen your life, right? The Lord is. Amen. Now, folks, when we say this, let's qualify some statements here before I dig in, because I'm going to say some things here in just a moment that could be misunderstood. We need to know and understand it's nice and it's good and it's right for spouses to compliment one another. It's nice when somebody else encourages you and says something good. It's nice when someone honors you, like we were doing with these grads here tonight, you know, saying a lot of nice things that were true, right? Just, you know, honoring their accomplishments and, you know, honoring, putting their pictures up and just, you know, praise the Lord, blessing them. It's good for a husband to honor his wife, compliment his wife. Guys, compliment your wives every single day. It's right for a wife to honor her husband, compliment him every single day. Those things are good. But the point we're going to be making, what are you going to do when those days don't show up? What are you going to do when there's no human recognition to thrive on? Because as good as it is, we can't live on it. As good as it is, there's days when those good thoughts and compliments are not showing up, you know? And we cannot find ourselves being people that we're hungry and we desire and we must have recognition, affirmation from others in order to secure our own selves. Amen? And so I had to qualify this with that, you know, with that explanation there so you know and understand it's good and it's right to encourage somebody, to compliment them. All right, amen. But what are you going to do when that does not show up? Any married people know what I'm talking about? You ever had a day when it's like, you know, it just, what are you going to do when that good feeling just isn't in your marriage? Right? Like, what are you going to do if that good feeling isn't at your job? Or what if you're being overlooked? What if it just seems like you're in a desert, so to speak? Well, we're going to talk about that. Are you ready? If the love of God, when we truly have fellowship with the Father, we won't demand human recognition. Now, can you bring up verse 41 in the Amplified one more time? Because I think it's important that we read this again. Jesus says, "I do not receive glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no earthly or mortal fame." Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you some alternatives, other ways that we could say what Jesus said there, so we start to take a deeper walk in what he was meaning. Are you ready for this? of course, you don't have to write all these down, but just take a listen. You know, you could say it this way, amen. Just other ways of saying what Jesus said. Jesus could have just as easily been saying, I put no expectations on people. I put no expectations on people. Amen. I don't demand that they recognize me. I don't demand that they recognize me, meaning honor him. We could say it this way. I won't be offended if someone isn't paying enough attention to me. Boy, it's sure quiet in here. Oh, what do you think it would do? What would you think that would do for your marriage and your relationships if you never again got offended if someone wasn't paying enough attention to you? See, when you're in fellowship with God, when you're walking close with him, believe me, we all fail at this. We all have made this mistake. We all want, you know, someone to pay more attention to us, or we want to be recognized. That's understandable. But I'm telling you, when you get addicted to that and you try to thrive on that, it's unfair to do that to somebody because they cannot meet that demand all the time. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, that right there will bless your marriage. That'll bless your job. That'll bless your family and your relationships. Amen. I won't be offended if someone isn't paying enough attention to me because those feelings are going to come to you. And what are you going to do when they show up in your brain? You could say it this way. I do not get my affirmation from others. I don't get affirmed by other people. You could say it this way. My relationships are not plagued with feelings of being overlooked. Ooh. My relationships are not plagued with feelings of being overlooked. Now, have you ever had feelings of being overlooked? Of course, we'll all go through that. But the goal is to have a heart that does not put those expectations on people. The love of God, the Bible says over there in Romans 13:8, it says, owe no man anything except to love him. Owe no man anything except to walk in this love of God that does not forcibly put expectations on others or demand that they honor you or recognize you. Are you here? Yes, even your spouse, even your boss, even your church, even your pastor, right? Even friends, even families. Oh boy, are you here tonight? My relationships are not plagued with feelings of being overlooked. How about this one? I don't demand that everyone understands my feelings. Okay, my age is going to come out with this one. And the younger people, you're just going to have to bear with me here. And I know this probably just sounds like something an old guy starts saying. But I'll tell you what, you know, growing up, you know, it just seemed like the generation I grew up in didn't really care about hurt feelings. It was, there just wasn't. I'm not saying that this is right, but everyone called each other names. You know, we punched each other and got over it. Not saying you should do that. Right. I'm just saying there wasn't all this offense. You know what I mean? There wasn't this nonstop grievance culture. You know, and I swear it just seems like the modern generation thinks that the worst thing that can happen to you is that someone can hurt your feelings. Get over it. Who cares what they called you? If you're walking with God, he's the one that you trust. He's the one that affirms you. He's the one that gives you glory. Not anybody. There's no insult that should bother a Christian. Are you here? There's no ism or schism or all this stuff going around that should bother a believer who knows Almighty God is dwelling on the inside of them. You know, amen. The Bible says that there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. So there goes sexism. While there's neither Jew nor Gentile, there goes racism. It all goes out. The gospel just takes care of all that because we don't need extra things to be offended about. Amen. I don't demand that people understand my feelings. Here's another way we could say it. I'm not seeking my own promotion. Do you see how this is heart surgery? Man, take these things down, you know, and like, Lord, I don't seek my own promotion. Man does not promote me. God promotes me. How about this one? I will not be offended if I don't get chosen.
I got to keep taking off. These are just reading glasses. It's really great for the first 2 feet. But if I wear them, like, and look at you all, you're all just gone. Like, it's just one big blur. So that's why I take them off. You know? I won't get offended if I don't get chosen. What if someone at your work gets a promotion and they're less talented or less gifted than you are? What if someone in the church gets, you know, to do something that you feel should have been you? Are you here? What are you going to do in this life when injustice seems to raise its ugly head or whatever you think? Come on now, are you here? I'm not seeking my own promotion. I won't be offended if I don't get chosen. I'm not, how about this one? I'm not validated by your approval. Folks, we don't need the approval of everybody. We need the approval of God. Amen. It'll change your life. How about this? I like this one. My insecurities are not your problem, and your insecurities are not my problem. Ooh, my insecurities are not your problem. Your insecurities are not my problem. Right? We should be walking with the Lord and finding our strength and our affirmation and our confidence is in Him. Not what people think, not about our insecurities. Oh, praise the Lord. How about this one? You didn't give me my glory, so you can't take it away. Amen. Jesus could have absolutely said that. Yep. How about, here we go. Let's take it one step further now. Are you ready? I am freeing you from any demands of keeping me happy. I'm going to free you from the demands of keeping me happy. Married folks, there you go. There's your marital counseling for the next 100 years. I tell you what, free others. I mean, I'm not saying you actually have to go up and say this to them, but in your heart, release them from the demands of keeping you happy, because they can't. It's unfair to put that on them. Are you here? Well, praise the Lord. I'm freeing you from any demands of keeping me happy. My wife, she does not have any demands on her to keep me happy. The fact of the matter is, my goal is to know the Lord and be happy and bring that joy into the marriage and stop demanding it out of her. I know this. Here's a freeing thing, husbands. Husbands, learn this. You can't make your wife happy. And above yourself, you can't. Oh, boy, but that really went over well. We'll have to say that on Father's Day. Well, praise the Lord. Just learn this. People are not the source of your joy. The Lord is the source of your joy, and bring that joy into your relationships. Stop demanding them out of your relationships. Amen. It'll change your life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How about this one? I am lifting the burden on you of maintaining my joy. Young people that'll be married someday, that's something that you can get absolutely ahead of time. That you should learn how to find your joy in the things of the Lord and bring that to your relationship and not start married life with this demand on them. They got to keep me happy. They got to keep me happy. No wonder why marriages get frustrated, busted, and disgusted, because they're always just trying to keep somebody happy. You'll get worn out trying to keep somebody happy. You don't possess the ability to give anybody true joy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of course, we're so grateful for good relationships and good marriages that bring a lot of happiness and everything, but what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What are you going to do? Some of you are probably sitting here thinking, Pastor, is there something going on in your marriage? No, I mean, it's great. But I'm just saying, this is what we all got to learn. We got to have this heart, not putting these demands and expectations on people. Praise the Lord. I will not make you maintain my joy. How about this one? How about this one? I will survive if you ignore me. Jesus is saying, I don't receive any glory. I don't receive any glory from it. I will survive if you ignore me. Absolutely. Does it mean that we should be ignoring our spouse? Does it mean we should be giving anybody the silent treatment? That's not right. I'm just saying, what if it happens? Can you make it? Can you thrive if it feels like everybody and everything just seems to be overlooking you, ignoring you? Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. That's absolutely right. I'm freeing you from that demand. I will survive if you ignore me. How about this one? God thinks of me even when you don't. God thinks of me even when you don't. How about this one? Your praise can't promote me and your criticisms can't keep me down. You can't live on praise and you can't live on criticism. Your praise can't promote me. Your criticism can't keep me down. Praise the Lord. Again, imagine if we have this heart. And I believe a lot of us do. And I'd like to believe I, in some way, have this heart. But I'm just saying we all could do better with it. We all could learn and grow stronger to the Lord, where we're not so influenced by, you know, demanding recognition or needing to feed our insecurities. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You don't have to feel like I'm your favorite every minute of the day. Say that to your spouse. You don't have to feel. You're free from having to feel like I'm your favorite every minute of the day. How about this one? No compliments, no problem. Right? Who cares if no one's complimenting you lately? The Lord loves you. Be secure in His love. Amen. Just know of His feelings for you. Praise the Lord. How about this one? I won't use you to heal my feelings. I won't use you to heal my feelings. My wife can't heal my feelings. You know what I mean? She can't. What an awful thing to expect out of somebody. And if you're trying to demand that out of somebody, you're using them. And you're being unjust and unfair because they can't. They cannot restore your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. This is why all this matters. Because people with insecurities, people who are desperate for validation, approval, and recognition, even empathy, or they are craving honor, this is why it matters, because it's pride and it's the opposite of the love of God. See, when we crave recognition and we need somebody else just to pay enough attention, not overlook me, you know, give me the recognition I deserve, understand how I feel, you need to make me happy, you need to maintain this relationship with me. When we are doing that, that's actually pride. That's what the Pharisees longed for. That's how the Pharisees thrived. And Jesus told them, he said, I know you. You don't have the love of God. This is the opposite. That pride is the opposite of the love of God. Oh, are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. This is why the Pharisees were the way they were. You know why? They were glory hounds. Self-glory hounds. Are you here? Wow. You know, when we think of like glory hounds, we usually think of people in business or people with a lot of money or trying, you know, rock stars and, you know, movie stars and all this. We think of them as, you know, the only, example that we have of somebody who's trying to be a glory hound. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can be that way in our own personal relationships. We can be that way, you know, in our marriages. We can be that way with our spouses, with our kids. We can be that way at our work, at our job, where we always feel that we're always right and should be recognized. The Pharisees were the way they were because they were glory hounds, and because Jesus explained, look at in verse 42. Can you drop down to verse 42? It doesn't matter what translation you're in. He says, but I know you and recognize and understand that you have not the love of God in you. The Pharisees became the way they were because they were not in fellowship with the Father. They weren't walking with God. You know, they weren't humbling themselves before God. They weren't seeking that understanding. They weren't seeking that right heart. Are you here? See, if we're not careful, we'll fall out of the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Next thing you'll know,
the result of it is that we'll want everybody to pay attention to us. Everyone's got to pay attention to us. I'm telling you, this will restore marriages. It'll absolutely restore relationships. We've got to be in fellowship with the Lord and bring that strength to our relationships. And you know what? If your spouse has a bad day, if your spouse has the worst day of their life, you can absolutely thrive in it because you already had lifted them from the burden of keeping you happy and maintaining your joy. Are you here? Yes. Maybe your boss could have the worst day, or you could have the worst day at work, or the worst day with your child, or whatever it is. You can thrive through it because you're walking with God. Yeah, let's talk about how this could affect your marriage. I've said a lot of these things already. It is wrong. Everyone say wrong. It is wrong to make your spouse maintain your joy. Here we go. It is wrong to make your spouse maintain your joy. Doesn't mean your spouse can't make you happy. Doesn't mean that you can't just love being together and smile and laugh and, you know, amen. All those good things are true, right? And we certainly appreciate those. But, you know, we have to understand that those good feelings and those good times, sometimes they become more of a luxury. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean you're going to feel that way all the time. But your feelings shouldn't matter if you're in fellowship with the Father. Amen. It is wrong to sit there and stew and demand that your spouse affirm you. Oh boy. It is wrong to demand that your spouse compliment you, though it sure would be nice. Married couples, I highly recommend it, but I highly recommend that you don't demand that out of each other. It's wrong to demand that your spouse recognize how great you are. Like I said, it's nice, it's good, it would help, but it won't always be there. You must find your affirmation and validation in the Lord. It is unfair to put these things on your spouse. Why is it unfair to put these things on your spouse? Because they will not be able to keep up and keep that pace. Oh, I wrote this down. I'm reading a lot out of my notes here tonight because I know that these things just need to be said and I don't want to miss something. I wrote this down just, you know, in my experience of counseling hundreds of married couples over the years. The problem with some marriages is that one spouse, the problem with some marriages that sometimes one of them, if not both of them, you know, do not have enough compliments to feed the emptiness of the other. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes the one spouse just does not have enough compliments to feed the insecurities or the emptiness of the other. And they can't keep pace. And it seems like no matter what they do, the other one just isn't happy. Oh, I've seen that so many times. Are you here? It wouldn't be that way if you weren't demanding it. It wouldn't be that way if we weren't demanding it. Are you here? Sometimes one spouse just doesn't have enough compliments to feed the emptiness. Because sometimes I see marriages where one of them is in fellowship with the Father and the other one is not in fellowship with God. Another one is needing their spouse to fill that void in their life. Can't do that. Are you here? It's quiet in the house of the Lord here tonight. Amen. God loves you. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, this, you know, I know it won't make a shout for joy in the midst of a service like this, but I'll tell you what, it'll help your life. It'll bless your life. When we don't demand, when we stop looking and wishing how everyone else would change and start working on this. Start working on us. Stop working on your spouse. You can't. You don't have the ability to fix them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No matter how much they try. See, you can't fill that void. What about our children? I've seen people use their kids to try to affirm themselves. You do not find your affirmation even in your own children. Because your children are going to make mistakes. Your children aren't always going to produce good feelings.
Your children aren't, you know, always just going to be exactly what you thought or you desired or whatever it could be. I see a lot of people, they'll get really competitive with other, people over their kids, meaning they'll get real defensive. Listen, if someone says something, about your kid that you don't like, who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
If you're in fellowship with a father, who cares? That went over well. That went over well. I mean, when I was growing up, there was every once in a while I had a little, I was a baseball player and stuff like that, and there'd be a disagreement and stuff, and maybe we're just more aware of it now because of social media. I'm not sure, but it just seems to be like there's fights breaking out at Little League games all over. Your kid did this to my kid. Again, I'm not trying to sound like a, like an old salt here. I'm just saying, in the neighborhood I grew up in, if kids had problems, they just figured it out. No one was down there at the front stoop of, the parents' house saying, your kid said this about my kid or this guy. My parents told me, if I told them, hey, someone said something mean and rotten to me, what would you do about it? That's what they said. Forget it. Sticks and stones. Remember when we were told sticks and stones? Words are never going to hurt you. Just let it go. Who cares? But now all of a sudden people take great offense. They get competitive with their kids or get defensive about their kids. It's wrong to think that your kid can fulfill the void in your heart. They cannot. You have to find security in the Lord and bring that to your marriage and stop demanding it out of your spouse. Stop demanding it out of your kids. Are you here tonight? Let me say this way. The bottomless pit of insecurity, always needing affirmation, always needing recognition, can only be filled with fellowship from God and His Word and renewing the mind in a revelation of God's love for you. That's the only thing that can fix it. I'm going to say it again. Praise the Lord. The bottomless pit of insecurities, hurts, and burdens, needing affirmation, needing recognition, can only be filled with fellowship with God and His Word and a revelation of God's love. Insecurity and a demand for honor is the surest sign that somebody is discontent and truly not walking in the joy of the Lord. It's a sad thing for God's people to walk a life that is insecure and needing recognition. Because if you know how much He loves you, if you know who He is, if you know what He has done for you and the love that He's given, it doesn't matter who says what to you. It doesn't matter who's thinking what of you. You can forgive like He forgives. Someone can call you some rotten name and you can say, oh, Lord, bless them real good. Bless them real good, Lord. Who cares? I don't care what they think of me. It does not matter. Oh, praise the Lord. Or, if we're not careful, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen people who jump from relationships to relationships? I mean, all over the place. And I mean, I'm not talking about just, romantic relationships. I'm talking about even friendships. And as a pastor, I've just, sat front row to a lot of people's lives for several years. And I see this all the time. People will go from one friendship to the next. They'll be friends with somebody for a few years, and then they burn it out. And then they go over to another, group of friends, and they burn it out. And they're just constantly chasing the next social circle. Are you here? See, these people, and if we do that, usually when they're burning relationships, after a year or two or whatever, and they're going from one to the next to make them feel better, see, they're trying to find their affirmation in people. And the reason why people try to get affirmation or recognition or honor from people is because they're not getting it from God. Do you understand? It's so important that we know and understand this. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. This is where instability comes from. This is where fights come from. This is where personal hurts come from. And believe me, it can come from real personal hurts. I know that there's people, and I've talked to a lot of people who've gone through real emotional hurts in their life. Maybe they were abandoned by a parent. Maybe they were hurt or violated by somebody. Maybe they were, you know, ignored or left or whatever it is. And those things are real. And those trials are real. I've seen, you know, people suffer from the abuse of an ex-spouse or someone that was in their life that was always putting them down or a critical parent. But here's the thing. We cannot seek to fill voids in our life by placing expectations on others. The only way you can fill a void is not trying to get something out of a person, but fellowship in the presence and renewing the mind with the Word of God. 100%. Because when you get to, you know, a point where you're just not affected by what people think about you, you're not affected by what they say, you're not putting any demands on them, I'll tell you what, you'll walk in joy. Say, Pastor, you don't know, but someone real close to me said something hurtful. Yeah, but are there somebody who's even closer than them? His name is your Heavenly Father. He will never say to you the things that they said to you. They will never hurt you like they hurt you. You can let it go. Forgive them in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. Humble yourself. We cannot seek to fill voids by placing expectations or demands on others to affirm us, to recognize us, to compliment us. It's unfair. And the fact of the matter is, this is pride. Pride wants everybody to think about us. And the Bible says, pride always comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Right? Pride comes before destruction. Folks, this is why I'm teaching this stuff. Like, the heart of Jesus was to seek nothing out of anybody. He wasn't trying to get any recognition from anybody. He just walked with his Father. He obeyed his Father. He said, I can only do that which I see my Father do. Folks, is there anybody here? Please, trick question inbound. Are you ready? Trick question inbound. Don't raise your hand to this. Is there anybody in here that you've perfected this? No. Of course. There's nobody in here with a perfect batting average with this. But the goal of this message isn't to give you a perfect batting average. It's just to hopefully, let's raise that batting average a little bit. You know what I mean? Let's get that batting average up to maybe all-star level. You know, that would be good, right? Don't fall into pride. It's pride to demand something out of somebody. It's pride to get them to, you know, affirm you and compliment you and honor and recognize you. Humble yourself. This is a goal worth working towards. This is a goal that we move, and this is something we do with God and meditate in His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And we're going to end right here because the second point is a lot quicker than the first one. Number one thing that we saw with them, when the love of God dwells in you, you won't demand human honor. You won't demand that people recognize you or pay you with any kind of affirmation. Are you here? Yeah. When people hurt you, it'll hurt a whole lot less if you're walking with the Father. Oh, yeah. You'll react a whole lot better if you're walking with the Father. If the love of God is dwelling in you, you've already decided to give people God's love and patience. You've already decided that you're going to treat them better than they deserve. Because you're going to need to be treated better than you deserve at some point. I need you to treat me better than I deserve right now, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And now here's secondly. What happens when the love of God dwells in you? Go down there. You're in verse 42. He said, go to verse 43. Jesus says, I have come in my Father's name, but you receive me not. Wow. Isn't it amazing? And you remember the rest of the passage. Jesus said, if you would have paid attention to what Moses wrote, he said, you would recognize me. He said, Moses spent all this time writing about me. Right? And yet, here's the second thing. When the love of God dwells within you,
you will be able to see and have the spiritual discernment and vision to know what God is doing in your life. Notice they were not walking in the love of God, and they couldn't even recognize the Lord himself when he showed up. He said, I showed up. You're not, the love of the Father's not in you. You won't even receive me. You've spent your whole life, Pharisees, studying the scriptures of Moses. You've clung to the scriptures of Moses, and you didn't even recognize the very one that he wrote about. He was telling them, your spiritual vision is hindered if you are demanding honor out of people. I'm going to say that again. Your spiritual vision, you will not see what God wants you to do. You will not know the plan of God before you. You will not see the open doors if you're always trying to get someone to respect you all the time. Listen, they should respect you. And it's understandable why those feelings come to us. Of course, people should. Your spouse should respect you. They should honor you. They should, treat you with love and kindness. But what happens when they don't? What happens if relationships don't always act that way? You can't live on it. What if your grown child doesn't want to have anything to do with you at times? What if an extended family member just decides to throw you out of their life? What are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and be hurt forever? Are you here? Are you going to sit there and allow that void? You're going to go try and fill that void with an imposter. An imposter is when we try to, we should be fellowshipping with God, but we try to find an imposter to take its place. We think that, relationships with people can replace our relationship with God. It cannot. Yeah. See, they could not see what God set before them. Wow. If we don't walk in the love of God, we will not see what God has set right in front of us. I guarantee you, your answer that you're looking for is already in your life right now. It's already there. It's already there. Are you here? The Pharisees could not see Jesus through their pride. I'm going to say that again. The Pharisees could not see Jesus through their pride, through their desire to be honored and affirmed by everybody. Because God wasn't their desire, because God wasn't their goal, their discernment, their spiritual vision, and their ability to see God's plan was diminished. They couldn't recognize the most obvious thing from God that was already right in front of them. Are you here? Boy, I tell you what. It just goes to show, us, our pride will blind us. Our pride will make it very difficult for us to see what God wants to do. If you're always mad, if you're always having arguments with people, and you shouldn't have said that to me, you shouldn't have treated me like that, that's pride. Your pride got hurt. You say, well, no, Pastor, you don't get it. They're wrong. Yeah, they might be wrong. But what's worse than what they did is what you're doing. I'm going to say that again. The reaction to it. It's not that we can prevent people from doing these things, but when we overreact and we say, you shouldn't have done that. You insulted me. That's wrong. I demand you treat me right. I demand you do this. I demand you do that. I'm telling you, that's pride. Oh, hello. A desire to be honored. And now the Pharisees could not see what God was doing right in front of them. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to have a heart that God can use. I want to have a heart that, that says, regardless of what's going on in this world, my wife is precious and awesome as she is. Oh, my goodness. My kids, as wonderful as they are, my relationships, my local church, anything. Listen, it's okay. As a pastor, I get insulted. People criticize pastors and stuff like that. That comes from, being a pastor. And also, on the other side, a lot of people give you compliments and they praise and all this stuff. Neither side matters. Because hopefully I'm walking with the Heavenly Father and He is my justification. He is my reward. And it's okay if someone, listen, if you have a bad thought about me, it's all right. I've already lifted the demand on you.
You don't have to maintain my joy. You don't have to live in under my insecurity. Listen to that freedom that you can have in all your relationships. Just lift that need for them to maintain your joy. I've never understood these friendships. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had a friendship where someone like just, they want you to maintain it all the time? And all of a sudden, maybe a few weeks got away from you or whatever, and where have you been? How come you haven't called me? Wait, what? Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now how I handle that. Wait, what? No. A friendship that has to be demanded to be maintained is no friendship at all. I don't have friends like that in my life. I don't. That's absolutely the truth. Well, where have you been? Well, I haven't. You ignored me. Why? You haven't said anything to me. You haven't talked to me. You walked past me and didn't say hi, and you did this and you did that. Don't be that person. That's pride. That's you thinking about you. And it's pride that brings deception, instability, and a lack of discernment. That's the word of God. I'm sticking to it. Do you get any help here tonight? I mean, listen, there's no one in here that's going to master this overnight. This is a lifetime assignment. But again, we're working. Is there anyone else in here that you're a work in progress? So please know and understand, you know, this isn't a standard for one day. It's where we're going. It's the direction that we're headed. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, you are so faithful and good. Lord, thank you for your mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for your patience and your kindness. Lord Jesus, you are the ultimate example, and you said, I seek not honor or glory from men. Lord, you said that you seek no mortal fame. You don't demand glory out of anybody. Meaning when you walk this earth, you didn't try to make yourself somebody. You walked with the Father. You were secure in him. You gave us the ultimate example of how to walk in love. That already from the beginning, before anything even happens, we can just lift the burden on people and make a decision right now that we're not going to hold their feet to the fire. Even if they don't affirm us, even if they don't compliment us, even if they don't recognize us, even if they overlook us, even if their attitude was bad, even if they insulted us, even if they trashed us to other people, it doesn't matter. That does not make us insecure because we're walking with you. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. The love of God is so great, and we've got to humble ourselves to walk in your love. Father, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves to be like you. Father, I pray for every marriage that is in this place here tonight, that spouses would lift the burden upon one another for having to maintain each other's joy. It's unfair to do that. Nobody is able to maintain anyone else's joy. That'll just lead to frustration, fights. Father, we're not here to change anybody else. We're here to work on ourselves. Father, you are faithful and good. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is he in your heart? And are you certain? If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, ask yourself this question in the conscience, the quiet of your own conscience, your own heart. Ask yourself this, am I born again? Am I saved? Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? If you don't know the answer to that question, then I just encourage you, get saved right here, right now. The Bible tells us how to do that. Romans 10:9 says that if we'll confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, if we'll believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved, rescued from our own sins, washed clean, confident before God. A brand new start. That's why the Bible, Jesus called it being born again. If you're here tonight and that's you and you know you need to be saved, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to haul you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send anyone else up to you. I'm not going to make you stand out in the aisle or anything. Right there in your seat between you and God, if you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me, I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing, a small step towards the Lord, and lift your hand in the air. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in that prayer of faith so you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make that decision with God right there. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me? I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you just lift your hand? Anybody? Just want to make sure. Anybody? I don't see any hands. So I trust and I certainly hope with all my heart that every soul in here is walking with Jesus. Father God, I don't see any hands, but Lord, if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, Father, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, I pray that laborers would be across their path to share the gospel with them again. And Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we thank you. These are the heart conditions that we believe are worth pursuing. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Hey, everybody, we do have some refreshments over there in the fellowship hall in honor of these graduates. Go on over. Feel free to help yourself. We have the honor baskets, the gifts and things for these young people that, you know, have graduated. We're going to just give God the glory right now. I'll say a quick prayer for the food, and you can head right on over if you'd like to get some refreshments. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for this time together in fellowship as we honor these graduates. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that all the food tonight is blessed to our bodies, and we thank you and ask a blessing upon those that help serve and to prepare all this. Father, we just say it together. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.